drove around all day and there's not a single job in this town. There is nothing, nada, zip.
Yeah, unless you want to work 40 hours a week.
Let me bring you up to speed.
We are the music makers, and we are the dreamers of dreams.
I'm getting a vibe here.
Now, please, listen very carefully.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
AM 770 KTH. Good morning, everybody. Brian Suits here on a practice Friday that we're treating. Can I just hit the brakes on the show to producer Greg and make an immediate call? And again, the horse skidded because those are ceremonial horseshoes. Let's stop treating it like a Friday. I'm not saying that we don't treat Fridays dead serious, but anyway, there's real breaking news. The media is force feeding it to you, and they're absolute. It's funny because CNN and MSNBC are in total denial that they love the money that putting Trump on TV gets people to watch. And then, by the way, in a couple hours here, the Supreme Court of the United States, the SCOTUS, will hear the, I don't have his name, Sauer, the Trump lawyer to argue the case that presidents have complete immunity, so that it doesn't matter what they do as a president. So they love juxtaposing that case with the former head of the National Enquirer, a guy named Pecker, who is testifying right now in Manhattan. And that people are actually turning, when Fox goes to commercial, and they're doing it more and more, people go one channel up to MSNBC. So that's why they know, I mean, down to the second. I mean, literally, Nielsen knows to the second what people linger on and what they turn it off on. So they're putting more Trump mugshot, Trump video, Trump in the hallway, in the reverby hallway, than ever, because it's driving money. And then the other thing they're not ever doing is they're not wondering why Hamas doesn't just give the hostages back and stop the war, because they're making more money than they ever have because of fundraisers and GoFundMe and Venmo from these, you know, face tat hair dyed people in Seattle and Columbia University and the whole thing. They're addicted to it. And the personalities, like in the case of MSNBC, who get paid to badmouth Trump, they do so with the understanding that that Trump's picture is going to be up, so that people stop and say, "Oh, they're talking about Trump," and they will get, you're making them money if you stop on them. So know what channel is what. And the fake outrage about today's David Pecker questioning. He was questioned about what did David Pecker know about Trump's affair with Karen McDougal, the former, when they say Playboy model, she was a Playmate of the Year. And just say it. She's pretty shockingly beautiful. And they love reading the transcript.
You look at all of the legal proceedings that are before him right now. And I know a lot of people, the media, like to say, well, swing voters all think that these are politically motivated.
Yeah, they do. And you know why? Because he says so. And there's very little evidence to the contrary. And then when you got to bring a succession of former U.S. attorneys that have never been in a county criminal court or haven't been in 30 years, they're boring. But a picture of Trump and picture of the women he had affairs with, less boring. That's the calculation. And you're feeding into it, and it's pretty hilarious to watch. So don't question for a second. Money is the motive, which brings us to West Seattle. So I realized something watching the some of the body cam and surveillance video out of I'm not going to say the name of the drugstore, but chain drugstore in West Seattle. Teenage boys, legal juveniles hanging about. And if you have an elderly parent, or you have an elderly grandparent, or you're elderly, let me give you the bottom line up front. Wait for a crowd of people to leave the drugstore. If you see young men lingering outside, they're there to rob you. If you come out with a bag full of over-the-counter or the gold ring, prescription pharmaceuticals or goods from inside a drugstore, anything from Prel to toothpaste to whatever, they're going to take the bag from you. And they're for the good of the order, they're going to punch you in the face. And you might have an 80-year-old mother. She will be punched in the face because that's what DHs these guys are. And they're 15 and they're 16 and they think they're men because they've never had to face a man with a collapsible baton or a mahogany stick or a gun or whatever. But they're there preying on old women with purses. Like, my number one thing is, like, in general, women, what's in the purse? Why'd the purse come out of the car? Why isn't it out of view in the car? Why are you carrying it around? Is there a change of clothes in there? Are you going to wet yourself in the Costco? Don't carry a purse. A purse just says, I have a bunch of stuff in here. The purse itself is valuable. That's why you get certain purses, right? That's why they go into Nordstrom at Fairfax in L.A. and they take a display rack of purses, or downtown Seattle, and they steal purses because they still have the tag on them and they can sell them for what it's marked at. So anyway, here's my radical solution. Before you leave, okay, first of all, you all have a wallet in your purse, okay? Why can't it all, everything you need, everything you left the house for, is on the debit card or it's in cash. That can fit in the wallet. The wallet can fit in your pants or in your skirt or whatever. If it can't, shrink the wallet, okay? Do that. Don't look like you have value. There's value in robbing you. That's why they rob you. And it's not because they're going to go enjoy your purse. They're going to go sell it to a guy that's going to give them cash for it. So either you make them a better offer and they still robbed you, or you're going to get a fist in the face because they don't care. It's a virtue. They post it. Anyway, just a suggestion. And then another one. When you buy over-the-counter medicine like Tylenol or toothpaste, take it from the box. Take it out of the box in the store. Take it out of the factory wrapping, because that's how they sell it to the guy in the van that gives them cash and puts it on Craigslist or the Nextdoor app. Because anything that you're going into that chain drugstore for, it's already on the Nextdoor app, and the guy will sell it to you for cheap because it's stolen, because he bought it for cash from some West Seattle South High School punk, but this time a student, not a teacher, who punched someone in the face for it. And so don't do that. And in this case, the woman wasn't punched hard enough. She still had a functional memory of the kid who punched her in the face and took her stuff. She accurately described the guy. And then instead of running three blocks, he ran half a block. He ran from the old lady, not from Seattle PD. So Seattle PD saw someone. And there's a thing, by the way. This isn't round up the usual suspects. This isn't profiling. Folks, there's a thing called time and proximity. Does anyone remember the North Seattle shipyard shooting when a young man with a mustache shot the administrative staff in the office at North Seattle Shipyard, whatever it was? Well, at the time, against many good friends' best advice, I was dating a woman who was running for city council, who turned out to be a communist and not reelected. I happened to resemble the name and the physical. The bolo they put out was guy in his 20s, mustache, black watch cap. And I left Cairo, filling in for DR, left Cairo like at 11 for when Dory came in. And I drove up to her house for a very special time. And I was stopped by Seattle PD and they brought me out of the car because I resembled the accused shooter who was still in the neighborhood in a bush. They would find out a couple hours later. But there's a principle called time and proximity. So the woman gives an accurate description. Young African-American male wearing a puffy jacket, maybe 15, maybe 17. Seattle PD, and he had three friends with him. One had a red jacket, one had whatever. So the woman gave a good description of her assailant. And, oh, look, there's surveillance video, too. So Seattle police know who to look for. They see someone matching the identical description. And we lay our scene.
Hey, man, Seattle police, stop.
That's called identify yourself.
Over here. You too.
And that's probably someone breaking into a car in West Seattle. So just another day in West Seattle. So the young man, instead of turning around and beating feet, he complies. Seattle police identifies himself and they say, hey, come here. He comes there. And
hello, over here.
Are you being detained?
Yeah.
You're being detained.
You're being detained.
Right here?
And they, by the way, because they've been drilled on the language, you are not free to leave. The officer has indicated that you are being detained. You can't say, well, I'm not doing that or whatever. I couldn't say to Seattle police, screw that. I'm going up to Judy's house. You can detain me there. And well, you don't do that. When they say, sir, can I see some ID? They don't need to see insurance. They're not running your license plate. They need to see you and your name because they're ruling you out. What are you doing? You're driving home from Seattle's home of talk radio. And they went, oh, you're Brian. I went, yeah, that's right. You know, and so you know how that goes. And it's called time and proximity. So you can't say, oh, you just don't like a black man walk around West Seattle. No, you match exactly to the jacket, the description of the young man that just assaulted this person and robbed them. And by the way, if you steal it out of the store and run away, that's shoplifting. If you put your hands on an employee or a patron, that's a wobbly.
What did I do?
So you're under arrest for robbery now.
Wobbly? Yeah. What the
and he says, and you have the right to say, what did I do? And you have the right to hear what you're under arrest for, as he did before. I'm not opening the settings. So he was informed he's under arrest for robbery. At which point he thinks that the baller move should be to resist arrest and to run and that whole thing. And that never ends well. I know they're old guys. Some of them have pot bellies, but they may not be as good as they once were, but they will be as good as once as they ever were. And if they're not, then meet Fruit Loop the canine.
Right here? All right.
What did I do?
So you're under arrest for robbery now.
Yeah.
When informed you're under arrest for robbery, a baller move at the point to make your point of sale retail interaction with the law enforcement officer probably say something profane. And then start running. And by the way, in an interrogation, that's a good tell. When someone starts doing that, it means that psychologically they're trying to get you on their side by talking like you, but then they run. And so then this guy runs.
But here's the crazy part. I want to stop you right
run,
there.
Run, run away. Well, what are you stopping me for? What am I under stopping for?
They have the suspect encircled by no less than five cops. He's being handcuffed.
Four Ford Explorers.
He's about to be put into a patrol car, and then he decides
to
run.
And one of them is Johnny Fruit Loop, the canine.
I want to get into the psychology of what this 13-year-old might be thinking at this point.
And who trained him to do this?
My wild speculation is that he wants the use of excessive force against him because that's his only... ploy here to get any kind of exactly any
am
kind
I being
of
detained
law in favor
good
of
law
him.
Enforcement officer
because there's no way he's going to escape again. There's five cops around him and he tries to run at that point. And so then they get him on the ground and he's
he chose otherwise. So the new ploy, if you graduate to master's level at the end of this TED talk, then you know you start saying, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. But you start doing the play-by-play of you complying. I have my fingers interlaced. I don't have any weapons. I'm not resisting. And he's off. And they cuff him because they have the right now because he's resisting arrest. So now he's going down for robbery and resisting arrest. I believe this is the one who went in front of Judge Patricia Clark Juvie Center. And believe it or not, folks, he punches a lady on camera in the face, takes her stuff, resists arrest when the officers are lawfully detaining him because he matches the description of a young man wanted for a violent robbery. Then he resists arrest for that. And you hear what he's doing. He's setting the cops up. And like a cop with a short fuse is going to do a compliance move. That's a euphemism for make you think you're about to get your freaking arm broken. And then you comply. And I'm sorry, but you ran from me. Do what I say. And he is on the ground. Put your arms behind your back. I have lawful right to protect myself and my fellow officers by handcuffing you at this point. And if you really are complying, you're going to follow my verbal commands. I said get on the ground. You're on the ground, but everything else you're ignoring. And these guys learn this from TikTok. They learn it from recently paroled. This is why my new thing, the state of Washington, Washington State Parole, Department of Parole, Department of Corrections, would be I would have violent parolees stay off social media. Besides Facebook, which has an algorithm that if you go on Facebook and say, then when the cop has you in a headlock, you put one hand, you grab the hair behind his right ear and you put your thumb in his eye. They learn all those Walla Walla Foo moves and they put them on Facebook. But Facebook has an algorithm. So I would, TikTok does not. Instagram does not. These guys, there are TikTok feeds about how to fight a cop dirty. Distract him by trying to grab his, put your hand on a cop's weapon, and they have every right in the world to think you're trying to disarm them. Because why else would you do that? It's a infallible argument, I tell you. But anyway, make no mistake, this is not some harmless teenager who couldn't afford. Why are you stealing the bag that an old lady is walking out of Walgreens for? What problem does an old lady have? What do you need? Depends. When you're 16, that a 66-year-old lady has. You're doing it because you're going to resell everything in the packaging the way it is. And also because you know that she's terrified and old and that you can physically dominate her because you're going to punch. You know something she doesn't know. She's going to punch you in the face. So, folks, tell grandma that if they see young men asked to be escorted out to their car by an employee or whatever, or ask the employee, are those guys going to rob me? What are they there for? Why aren't they coming in? They're physically fed teenagers. Why are they loitering outside of a West Seattle chain drugstore? So that's my TED talk on that one. Let's know it all. Here's everything else.
I want it all, and I want it now.
Know it all. First thing.
So because I don't take the light rail, I'm not Greg, but what is the deal? Did this station on the east side take 20 years to build it? It's a standard light fail thing?
Oh, it was delayed for many years, went over budget, and at long last it's going to be opening this weekend.
And it sounds as if the people of the east side have a familiarity with Seattle's light rail station problems. They are magnets for vagrants and feces and drug addicts and the whole thing. It's all one thing. And they know it. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be a vagrant delivery device to the Bellevue Square Mall, where they don't tolerate that kind of crap. And where do we get this from?
The wait is over.
Is it what fine network is
King 5.
You're King 5 right here. The wait is over. Hey, East Side, welcome to our world.
For Sound Transit's 2 line to officially open.
I think that will be very helpful. We're excited to have the light rail, but there are concerns, obviously, with it as well.
Who in the hammering blank said that?
Lady on the street, come on.
We're so excited that government has come through for us.
Very helpful. We're excited to have the light rail, but there are concerns, obviously, with it as well.
She lives right across from the new Bellevue downtown station. It's one of the 8 stations that will
check your property value in 5 years, Mrs. Excitement.
Will be operating through Bellevue and Redmond. She's glad there's another way to get around the east side, but hopes this new line won't attract the same issues that other light rail stations have experienced.
Well, hope in one hand and wait for light rail in the other, okay?
The drug use, you know, the needles, like check. How we see over in
check.
Seattle.
Check.
Possible violence, just being bothered, harassed.
What?
It's these types of concerns.
So she's been watching the news. So, okay, I love that. No, I mean, I'm dead serious. I'm going to go on the King County Assessor's Office and just get a ballpark. The value of properties around, and I know a lot of them are high rises, but you can check the asking price for the condos and stuff. Your property value is about to plummet. Your Bellevue East Side, adjacent to Bellevue Square, property value is about to crater, just like Just like a perfectly good needle into a pile of feces.
Bellevue Police Department wants to stop it.
That's going to leave a mark.
It's tracks.
We hear about, you know, regional issues that surround light rail and other transit-related areas, stations. And so, yeah, our goal with this light rail, this Bellevue light rail unit is to, again, to combat that.
The new unit will be comprised of four officers and one sergeant overlooking the unit.
And this is the King County Transit Unit. And now remember, I don't know if it is countywide, but up in Snohomish County, you can't ask a patron to show you their ticket or whatever. When people cheat, even paying for what they could get as a free Orca card, when people cheat to get on the light rail, they don't come to Bellevue to collect for the Red Cross.
It will patrol each of Bellevue's six link stops daily. These uniformed officers will be in pairs and monitor the Bellevue stations at most hours of operation, from 5:30 in the morning until 9:30 at night.
Patrolling the platform.
So attention vagrants, open season 9:30 to 5:30 a.m., 9:30 p.m. to 5:30 a.m. Luckily, vagrants are never active at that time of day. Why would they announce that? Why not announce that random foot patrols will be sweeping for vagrancy and needles?
Each of Bellevue's six link stops daily. These uniformed officers will be in pairs and monitor the Bellevue stations at most hours of operation, from 5:30 in the morning until 9:30 at night.
Patrolling the platforms, we want high visibility. And again, we want to ensure that everybody utilizing transit and utilizing the light rail, that they feel safe.
We're confident that the...
Well, I know I'm finally opening up my Rent-A-Taser kiosk. I will be in service from 9:30 p.m. to 5:30 a.m. Monday through Friday at Bellevue, the main Bellevue stop. I don't know anything about this line, but in my world, you go where the people go. You build high transit along the high-speed avenues of approach, which would be your I-5, your 509, you know, I-5 to SeaTac and stuff like that. You go where the people are already going. You don't do it like Portland did. And so for me, this line would go Newport, Bellevue, Totem Lake, and then it would turn around. What's the line that you make the Tomlin kids get traumatized on?
We went from SeaTac
to... Is there like a direct...
The UW.
Renton to T-Mobile kind of thing?
Maybe SeaTac area, yeah.
So you flew in to take, you drove to SeaTac, then
yes.
Get on the light rail?
Exactly.
Light fail there. So what's this one? Is this supposed to bring light fail to the east side Renton?
Right now it's just Bellevue to Redmond.
Mine would, since humans live in Renton, and you're an example, mine would go Renton to Everett, and it would only stop where people are stopping anyway. Factoria, Bellevue Square, Totem Lake. There you go. Real simple. All right. So four more years. Pause. Okay. What happens when good, kindly men read the directions on the teleprompter? Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH. AM 770 KTTH, pesky body-worn GoPro footage from the Abbey Gate suicide bomb that killed 13 American service people, Marines, and soldiers contradicts the Pentagon's official fake report that it gives the lie to a couple aspects of that entire episode where the Pentagon claimed there was no small arms fire, that the Taliban were not running that suicide bomb, but the Marines on scene said otherwise, and the Pentagon and MSNBC want that version of the story, that truthful version of the story, to go away. I'll play that audio here in just a minute. after I can get a hug from someone. But Garrion Frankel is joining us from where on the East Coast? Are you close to the belly of the beast? Are you on the from Young Voices?
I'm in East Central Texas.
Oh, okay, better. Okay, good. And that's the. Are you anywhere near Austin?
About an hour and a half away.
Well, you know what? From time to time, the reason the Riot Act was passed in Britain in 1715 is because sometimes a riot just needs a spark, and that's that. And nothing will encourage it, because as the police say, masses are asses. When people get together, they collectively lose their individual sense of responsibility. And there's nothing better than a elected official getting up, validating and fetishizing protesters. And we have you on today to listen to this. This is Congressperson Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez from the New York area, praising the entitled wealthy punks at Columbia University who interrupted Biden's Earth Day event. And he was giving away some of his personal compost, apparently, through a microphone. But this is what she said, empowering anyone who wants to have the heckler's veto.
It is especially important that we remember the power of young people shaping this country today, of all days, as we once again witness the leadership of those peaceful student-led protests on campuses like Columbia, Yale, Berkeley, and many others.
Yeah, well, the local residents disagree. So Gary, wait, do I call you Gary or Gary Ann?
Either way.
Okay, Gary. That's her. I mean, I would make the case you're enabling and validating illegal behavior, uncivil behavior, and the governor of New York can call it that. She has the right.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, we all have a First Amendment right to protest that the government cannot infringe on. But that First Amendment right to protest is not completely unlimited. You can protest on private property. And as far as public property goes, like some of the universities, like the University of Texas at Austin, they're subject to what are called time, place, and manner restrictions. So the government can't regulate the content of your protest, but in the interest of public safety, public order, all that good stuff, they can tell you when and where and how you can protest.
And it even says in the First Amendment, peaceably to protest.
Yep.
So tell your hippie friends that that's actually in the text.
It most certainly is in the text. And I think that hostile takeovers of college campuses in which people put up tent cities all over the place and stay there for days without permission, when they're visibly intimidating Jewish students. I saw this one clip out of Columbia where a Jewish student was trying to leave campus. And then a whole bunch of the so-called protesters were gathering around him and telling him to go back to Poland. I mean, at that point, when you're illegally occupying private property and you're verbally harassing students to the point where it can be considered intimidation, that's not a peaceful protest anymore. There's something fundamentally wrong there.
And folks, if you're wondering, replace Jewish student with black student and someone saying, go back to Ghana. And it would immediately be the lead story on ABC, NBC, all their sub networks and the whole thing. And that is how offended you should be at this. I mean, and to the point where, did you see that picture of the woman doing a selfie with a sign? And the sign had a hand pointing to the people, the Jewish students behind her. And it said, Al-Qabas Brigade's next target. Hamas, when the media says Hamas's military wing, they have one specific rocket unit, and that's what she was appealing to. She was calling for somebody, for Hamas to rocket them, and they can't from Gaza and the whole thing, but they clearly, it's like saying, hey, SS, round them up, or something like that. And the deal is that one word is left out by so many people, peaceably. Peaceably means to behave civilly. And yeah, expressing yourself is part of behaving civilly, but you not defacing public property or blocking interstate highway, that's not behaving in a civil, peaceable manner. Well, what's the worst that happened? I saw that in Texas, they don't mess around yesterday at Austin. But what
are
you saying,
Gary? They don't mess around at all. So the situation at UT Austin, was that the university had told the protesters beforehand that their protest was being denied because they couldn't prove through the permitting process that they were going to do things safely and peaceably. Because again, these time, place, and manner restrictions are all important. And the university said, if you protest, if you block university corridors and university passageways, and UT is in the middle of the city of Austin, which is a very large city, so it would be obviously disruptive for everyone else around them, that and the university said, if you do this, we will call the state. And so they protested anyway, they got rowdy, they called the state, and now things are more or less back to normal. And the funny thing about all of this is that so many of these protesters say, oh, we're not anti-Semitic, we're anti-Zionist. But then they pull out every traditional historical anti-Semitic trope in the book. And even beyond that, why is it that the Jews are the only people who don't get to have some sort of nationalist idea? That's an anti-Semitic trope in and of itself.
And what's funny for people that don't know Texas, Austin is the closest thing to a liberal college town. It's a very progressive, very artsy-fartsy town, beautiful town. But what we tolerate in Seattle, which is absolutely anything, under the misquoted First Amendment here, is not tolerated by people with common sense. What happens on a day-to-day basis in Portland or Seattle, where people think, oh, no, they get to close down I-5 and mess up the commute because they want me to be more aware of, you know, left-handed orphans and their quest for free kale or whatever. No, you don't. You don't have a right to impede the public way. You don't have the right to block anyone from a public service or a taxpayer funded thing, whether it's I-5 or believe it or not, an abortion clinic. But it sounds from what I saw yesterday out of Texas, and now they're saying, but Texas had a militarized response. Well, okay, they had cops in riot gear. I mean, does Texas have tanks? Were they running people over, like the Bagman in China or something?
The Tiananmen Square, it most certainly was not. No, it was a proportionate response to a rowdy protest. And, you know, I've gotten into a couple of disputes with even a few of my friends on the right about this. But it's an absolutely proportionate legal response to protesters trying to hostily take over a public university in the middle of a large city. There are ways in which you can go through the permitting process and ensure that your protest is done with requisite safety and protection. There are ways to protest, regardless of how ridiculous your cause is, in a peaceful and civilized manner. And it seems that at universities across the country, people are mostly unwilling to follow the rules because they feel entitled to do whatever they want, however they want to do it, regardless of the law.
And that literally is why they had to pass and write the Riot Act to remind people you're breaking. This is not you hanging out in a tavern talking about treason against the king. This is a riot. We are declaring this a tumult. You must break up. And so anyway, Gary Frankel, there live from the Freedom State, from Texas. Thanks. And what's on the dock today? More protests in Texas, or people kind of had it?
Austin might have another round, but I mean, it was really just Austin to begin with, and I think things are starting to calm down.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
All right. There he goes. Gary and Frankel from Young Voices. And I'd say, here's the thing. She's describing the first day of the Battle of Gettysburg up to this point.
Especially important that we remember the power of young people shaping this country today, of all days.
Until she goes crazy.
As we once again witness the leadership of those peaceful student-led protests.
Okay, you don't vote, and no, you're not leading, and you know what you're shaping.
It is especially important that we remember the power of young people shaping this.
Like D-Day and all that, but of course she's never talking about young people doing that stuff. Back in a second with the sound of truth or the sound of the Pentagon right after this from Afghanistan, AM 770 KTTH. AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here. Thanks to Gary Frankel from Young Voices being there on the scene in Texas. So yesterday, very quietly, the Pentagon's released a report about the horrific August 2021 suicide bomb at the Abbey Gate at the Hamid Karzai International Airport, the one in the middle of Kabul, where the air debarkation, the embarkation point to get out of Afghanistan for civilians and military should have been at Bagram Air Force Base. I mean, that was $8 billion of security, and we didn't do it there because the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, because the president didn't want to surge a security force into Afghanistan, because then people would say, you're just getting us deeper in there, when he could just say, it's just a security force for a week. But he did not, because he was given bad advice by an idiot chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff who instructed the Pentagon's final report to claim that every Marine on the ground on the day of that suicide bombing did not really actually hear gunfire. They all said there was a follow-up assault by the Taliban. But the party line was that the administration was cleaning up the mess on Isle Trump and was getting out of Afghanistan responsibly with the assistance of the Taliban, and that it was the act of a single insurgent, and that was that. But the report that was released by CNN yesterday, which appears to show multiple rounds of gunfire following the explosion at the Abbey Gate, as it's called, is pushing back on what the Pentagon said. The Pentagon is lying to cover the current president. That's their job. That's the chairman's job. That's how the chairman that Trump appointed is still the chairman, because he bent over and said to Biden, not the face, I just want to retire as a five-star or a four-star chairman of the JCS and the whole thing. And that's how you get Milley. He made a deal, and the deal was, whatever you tell me to do, we'll do. Well, then along comes the annoying Marine Lance Corporal with a GoPro camera, and he filmed, he taped the whole thing from start to finish. And so there is a countdown clock from the time the bomb goes off. The suicide bomb went off at Abbey Gate for several minutes. There was coordinated, controlled gunfire from the beginning, which is really unusual. That indicates that someone has a plan. It's a controlled ground assault. Like when it was publicly released that Iraq would get its sovereignty and its courts would matter and the whole thing on June 10th, 2004. It was right before a weekend. Well, Al-Qaeda and Iraqi insurgents did not recognize the new American-installed Iraqi government, so we knew it was going to be a suicide bomb magnet. And so we were forewarned, forearmed, kind of like all the Marines were, about that suicide bomb, because the rumor mill turned out to be very accurate that an ISIS guy that we released out of the Bagram holding facility was going to come back with a suicide bomb, because we were letting Afghan civilians who didn't believe in the Taliban cluster in giant groups, and there were hundreds of Americans, so you can kill Americans and Afghans. So a total of like 118 Afghans were killed, 13 American Marines and soldiers. And I warn you, if you've ever actually been through a suicide bomb or IED bomb, be warned. This is the Marines video with the sound of the bomb on it at the moment the bomb was initiated.
The bomb detonates. The footage then stops and picks up 3 seconds later.
You good? You good?
Watch out. Back up right here. Right here.
Alright.
Hey.
I got that on film, dude.
One of his buddies just said, I got it all on film, dude.
They're breaking through. Is that our guy? Hey.
Many Marines here were young, some on their first deployment. The gunfire starts. They run for cover. This long burst is about 17 shots, bringing us a total of 20. We're tallying shots fired and episodes of fire based on two forensic analyses.
So, was that them returning fire? I don't have an opinion on it. I'll watch the video a few more times on that. But I will tell you what, the Pentagon saying that this is not an engagement is given the lie a little later on in the same uncut video.
Where's the I need accountability.
Are you swearing in combat, Marine?
We're pushing them back there for sure.
Gotcha.
Any casualties, we're pushing
more
back.
More shots.
Let's get down. Are you good?
Hey, multiple Marines we spoke to who were there said they felt they were under fire. But the Pentagon has insisted for 2 years no militant gunmen opened fire here.
Because they were told to insist that it was not a firefight after the suicide bomb, because that would indicate coordination and pre-planning.
They've said the only shots fired here were two bursts by U.S. Marines and one from U.K. troops, once in a big burst from a nearby tower. Yeah. All bursts near simultaneous.
Anyway, I've got the video and I'm rewatching it. Why haven't you ever seen any clip of that except for last night on CNN? I don't know. It almost feels like there is a word out from the White House that whatever happened in August of 2021, it wasn't Biden's fault when it most clearly was. And if it was Biden's fault, you're not going to be chairman for long if you don't cover for me. So that happened. That really went on. And you're in the middle of it right now. So I'm just telling you, there is video to show otherwise. That what the Pentagon said from the beginning, from the top down, they were directed to say, don't ask about Bagram. If you asked in a press conference, why didn't you had a base that cost $8 billion that had three rings of fence and security. You could have surged an airborne brigade that is just sitting in Italy waiting for that order in there for a week. Have people drive to Bagram and leave the middle of downtown unsecured Kabul and just sauntered onto planes and gotten out. But he turned them down because he told Milley, we're getting out and I'm not sending one more troop than we have to have. And that's just not the way we got out of Saigon. And it was a stupid way to get out of Kabul. And so your job to provide your best advice was failed by Milley. And there's 13 dead Americans. And it's because Biden doesn't know what he doesn't know. He didn't know that he doesn't know everything about a retrograde by air out of Kabul. But he ran saying that he was an expert in foreign policy and the whole thing. And so anyway, it was a bad scene, very bad scene, as all suicide bombs are very bad scenes. And for a bunch of Marines, I got to say, for Marines who have never deployed, because the group came out of Camp Pendleton, I want to say 8 Marines, they barely had NCOs who had been on combat deployments ever. And for your first taste of combat to be a disastrous suicide bomb, their behavior under fire for the first time is tremendous. Very professional on the part of their trainers, their officers, and their NCOs to...
The bomb detonates. The footage then stops.
And that moment in your life, that moment is, for some people, a defining moment for the rest of their life. For them to sit there and start giving orders, accurate, clear orders to these are young guys. These are 22, 23. These are the kind of young Americans that you don't see at Columbia. These are the kind of young Americans who are seeing the elephant for the first time and keeping their heads about them.
And picks up 3 seconds later.
You good? You good?
And holy blank is a traditional reaction to a suicide bomb, besides leaping into the air 60 feet and scattering your body over a wide area. But anyway, when we come back, hour number 3 of Practice Friday. So far, I would give Practice Friday 7 out of 10. A little too inside baseball, I think we're being. And we'll break down how does Boeing make airplanes and lose money? Why'd they lose money? Well, because those darn contracts that they're following. That and more on a fully functional drink water, wear your pads, Practice Friday, back in a second, AM 770 KTTH.